Welcome back to Hard Facts with Sandra Ezekwesili.
I am Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Will contractors and lenders listen to the outgoing Kano governor or the incoming Kano governor? Like we talked about on the Big Three, it's a war of words between the APC's Abdullahi Ganduje and the NNPP's Abba Kabir Yusuf. Here's today's big hard fact. Kano governor-elect Abba Yusuf has advised lenders not to extend any new loans to the state government before he takes office because he won't honor them. Now, that's a shocking statement for a governor-elect to make because there are legal obligations and ramifications here. As you can imagine, the outgoing government is not having it, and they've told Yusuf to wait until May 29th before trying to run things. Joining me to discuss this and other heated matters in Kano is the head of news, Cool Wasobia Info Kano, Kolawole Omuni. Welcome back to Hard Facts, Kola. Good to have you here.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening. How is Kano reacting to this advisory from the governor-elect?
Yeah, they took it as normal political statement anyway, because this is not the first time this is happening.
Mm.
I recall then when Ganduje took over from former governor of Kano State, Konkoso, he could not make his own public then because it was the same political party and he deputized his governor then. But mind you, I remember vividly, he said it codedly and he sent some people to many people that whatever the state government is owing you now, go and start addressing journalists. Go and start talking to people. Because when I take over, if you don't get much clarification from all this, I will not pay. Mind you, that's just a political party.
Mm.
The same political party, the same governor and deputy governor that ran for 8 years then. He deputized Konkoso for 8 years.
Mm.
So Kabiru Yusuf could be able to make this one official now, probably because it's coming from different political parties. And he suspects that there may be a lot of transaction that will be a debt to him the moment he takes over May 29. But let's leave that political angle. Let's talk about what is reality now and constitutional. They've told him frankly, I mean the state government now, they've replied to what he said. They've replied to his statement that you are still not a governor. You are governor-elect, not until May 29. And because you've been elected, does not mean that the entire project in the state will stop for now. So based on that, you should just wait patiently till that May 29 before he can act or take any action as he wishes. But for now, he's still not the governor of Kano State, just governor-elect.
Mm. Okay, so you have... Okay.
And mind you, you remember this drama also played in Osun State between Oyetola and Adeleke. They have been back and forth, even including some of these traditional appointments that I did to some of these monarchs, and it was reversed the moment it took over. So the moment you are not seeing transition from a political party to the same political party, when you are seeing an opposition winning election, coming to take over, we see this kind of drama coming to play.
There's also a legal question. A governor cannot just decide not to pay old debts, right?
Yes.
Okay. Lagos, you can join the conversation, of course, 0700-993-993-993. So, Governor-elect Abba Yusuf seems quite upset about these construction jobs that he says Governor Ganduje is approving all over Kano. What exactly is the story there with this construction thing?
The story there is that the construction is not even for the state government. They've been accusing the sitting governor that most of the land belongs to the state government has been sold. There are some strategic locations in Kano City that they feel like they are not supposed to be sold. Take, for instance, Kano Pillars Stadium in Kano.
Mm-hmm.
The entrance of that stadium, they've sold every part of the entrance. You have to struggle to enter the stadium. So many other locations like that. There's one historical golf platform too, where they used to play golf game. Lately, they addressed journalists to say they are getting information that the governor wanted to spread that particular sport to, because the location is where they can easily make money from people that want to use it, all these estate agents. So many other strategic locations like that that the state government has been selling.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been expressing their reservation as an opposition party before regarding this. Even when the NNPP now was in PDP, that they were not pleased with the way governor was selling land here and there. So most of those lands, contractors have taken over the property. They started building on it. Since they got proof of payment, they've got their CEO and stuff like that. So those are the kind of lands that Abba Kabiru, the governor-elect now, is now advising those people to vacate, because he might likely to revoke some of those lands when he takes over.
What are the Kano people saying? The people in Kano, what are they saying about this issue? Is there a feeling that Abba Yusuf has a valid concern? Do they feel he's just overheating the polity? Is everybody, you know, saying, like you said earlier on, or is just politics, it's to be expected? How are they feeling?
Kano people like politics very well.
Okay.
So when you have this kind of issue, it used to be a divided opinion. So it now depends on where you belong to. Hardly you see somebody that does not belong to either party A or party B.
Mm.
So most of them, or the little that sit on the fence, probably that neutral about this, they don't like what the governor was doing by selling some of those lands. And with a condition, the last time we had this conversation, I told you that they don't even like the fact that most of this approval, if you want to get such land, you have to lobby through the governor's wife. So they believe that it's the governor's wife that is ruling there when we don't have a first lady's office in Kano State. So with that one, most of them are not aligning with what governor is doing. But if you belong to APC, if you belong to the governor's camp, they are the kind of people that appreciate what the governor is doing, because they have no choice for now.
Mm.
Anything can happen later. The moment Abba Kabiru Yusuf takes over now, most of the people that are under Ganduje right now, they used to be with Konkoso before, since they were from the same political party. So they might likely migrate. You see that mass exodus of people joining NNPP too, because they believe that that's the end of the road for Ganduje. So with that condition, we might likely see people appreciating the fact that Kabiru will revoke those lands when it takes over. Mind you, Konkoso did that too when he was a governor, when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the lands that Shekarau sold that time, the moment he took over the mandate, he revoked all the lands from those people that Shekarau sold it to. So it's just like the lifestyle of Konkosia group and Konkosia movement. And for the fact that Abba Kabiru said he will ride on legacy of Konkoso, so we might likely see most of those land being revoked.
Okay. What's the mood of the business community and the banking community? Are there concerns about what happens to continuity of government after May 29th?
No, we've not really gotten much reactions from them. You know, even if they have their reservation, they hardly make it public anyway. So we don't really know what is going on regarding that. But one good thing about Kano is that whatever surfaces, people can easily align. They hardly, take for instance now, like after election, you see people going for litigation, say they want to go to court and stuff. They don't have that culture. I used to see somebody talking to them that, oh, this is your brother, just forget about it.
Mm.
That is how Allah wanted it. Next 4 years, if God wishes that you become this, become that, it will definitely happen. So they have that culture.
Mm.
So with that one, whatever happens, they can easily align.
Mm.
That is not in a, we are not denying the fact that currently the APC is insisting that they have to go to court to go and challenge the outcome of the election. But that one, we might not. So it is strength. People are seeing it like the way it used to be in other locations. Because even the running, sorry, the deputy governor himself, he has congratulated the governor-elect and he has considered defeat.
Okay. Lagos, join the conversation, 0700-993-993-993. I want to take you back to a point from earlier, caller. Does it seem like when Governor Yusuf takes office, he'll reverse these property sales that you mentioned earlier on?
Yes, he might likely reverse them because I told you, like the way people are seeing the operation in Kano, they believe that Konkoso is coming back to Koman Road. And if you have to check his antecedent, he did it when he took over from Shikarao in 2011. All the lands then, he revoked them from all the people they sold it to. So we might likely see it repeating itself now because it's more like Konkoso ruling Kano State right now. They believe Abba Kabir Yusuf is in-law, is just like a figurehead. So somebody that has that kind of antecedent and mentality, it might likely be repeated this time around.
Okay. Now, let me also press a bit on the Kwankwaso point, because I've seen a number of reports, people saying, oh, Kwankwaso is actually the person who's going to be the real governor. However, Kwankwaso himself says that, no, he's not going to meddle in Kano affairs. What do you think about that particular situation? And what do the people in Kano actually believe?
Definitely, he won't want to say it officially that he'll be meddling in the affairs of the governor-elect. But in reality, we cannot isolate Governor Konkoso's interference from whatever will be the priority of the current administration, or sorry, the upcoming administration. And the reason, because when he did that the last time, he wanted to. If you check the genesis of his crisis with the sitting governor right now, Ganduje, it was because of that interference that caused the crisis between them. He believed he has a legacy. He believed the Konkosia movement ideology in Kano State.
Hi, caller. Do we still have you there? Caller, are you there? Hello, caller. All right, looks like we've lost the connection to caller there. Lagos, you can join the conversation, of course, 0700-993-993-993. We are going to try and get caller back on the line. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. And today we're taking a look at Kano. We're taking a look at the aftermath of the elections in Kano. I've got on the show with me our head of news, Kulwa Zobia Info Kano, Kolawole Omoniyi. Kolawole, sorry about that interruption earlier. Ron, welcome back. Kolawole, are you there?
Thank you very much.
Yes. You were saying, go ahead.
So, like I was saying, is somebody that he wanted to take over Kano then, Ganduje felt like, okay, if I continue listening to you, if I haven't finished with 8 years, people will still believe it's Konkoso that is in charge in Kano State. That was the reason why they fought. Just like 365 days after he took over, they started fighting for supremacy and stuff like that. So somebody that could do that to his deputy, we are not expecting him not to do such a thing for his in-law this time around. Because left for Abba Kabir Yusuf, he might not be able to pull even 100,000 votes in Kano. If not because of the influence of his father-in-law. So for him to say he will not be able to interfere, he knows what it means to take over Kano State. He knows what it means to be in charge of Kano. Politicians for Tinubu to take West, and whoever finishes the next agenda is, can I take over my region? Can I go back the region. Mm. So that authority of all politicians, mm-hmm. except they don't have their way. Mm-hmm. If they have their way, they want, because they know the importance, that the more they are relevant, the more people can easily lobby with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it means. You know facts and votes they used to get from Kano State.
Mm.
So for him to say he doesn't want to lay, he doesn't want to interfere, nobody will even listen or even agree with him on that point.
Mm. Okay. But do you think that whatever agreement these two men have, I'm talking about Kabera and Kwame Kwaso now, do you think whatever agreement they have with each other will last? Because, I mean, nobody thought Ganduje and Kwame Kwaso would fall out.
Sincerely speaking, people have been expressing fear on this particular question you asked now.
Okay.
That in case Abba Kabir Yusuf chooses not to be a rubber stamp governor,
mm-hmm.
chooses not to be a figurehead governor,
mm-hmm.
then there will be number one, family crisis and political crisis in Kano State. But if he chooses to continue listening to his father-in-law, then there will be peace in Kano in the next 4 years.
Okay, let's take a few calls from Lagos before we have to take a break. 99.3, sorry about that. Give us a call back if you can. 0700-993-993-993-0146-571-90. We've got this message here from Kalyan Christmas. Kalyan Christmas is in Canada. Kalyan says, Sandra, politicians know how to play the game. Yes, it's unconstitutional for the incoming to make such a pronouncement, but guess what? He's trying to reduce damage control because at the end of the day, it all becomes an abandoned project. In my opinion, a bill should be passed to stop governors from executing any project once an election starts. Papi K says, Sandra, no sane lender will touch Kano here, especially when power is changing hands. It's better to be safe than to be sorry. Papi K, thank you for your message. We've got a message here from Sam in Satellite Town. Sam says, why do we do things wrongly in all our endeavor? Why would a governor-elect be giving instruction or order when he's yet to be sworn in? This is the reason there's always witch hunting by many of our leaders. There is disaffection because of political differences, which is not supposed to be so. All right, Sam from Satellite Town, thank you for your message. The numbers to call us, 0700-993-993-993. Hello, thanks for calling us.
Good evening, Sandra.
Good evening, sir. What's your name?
Yes, this is Ufoma from Magodo.
Ufoma, talk to me.
Yes, please, can I contribute towards your debate?
No, we've moved on from debates. No, we've moved on from debates.
I don't hear you.
We've moved on from debate.
Okay. Mm. Let me just contribute on the issue at hand.
Thank you.
You know, if the incoming governor is saying it now,
mm-hmm.
I will support him. How many months to live now? Less than maybe 1.5 months. So mm-hmm. what contract did he want to issue now? Because at the end of the day, that's our avenue to stifle money. So
okay.
I will support the incoming governor. Like your guest also mentioned that even though the current governor also did likewise. So if the incoming one is saying it now, so I will support him because there is no need of signing the contract at all. There is no need of giving any project. Allow the new coming one to do whatever anything you know that is good for the people.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for calling. I don't know which call dropped there. However, we need to take a break. When we come back from this break, we'll keep taking more of your thoughts. Don't go away. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. I've got on the show with me the head of news, Kulwa Zobia Infokano, Kolaole Omoniyi. Kolaole, let's talk a bit about the expectations of Kano people. Kolaole and I are talking about the aftermath of the Guber elections in Kano. You mentioned the Kwame Kwasia movement. It's a term that we hear a lot from Kano. But in terms of policy, can we expect a big difference between what the incoming Kwame Kwasia governor will do and what Ganduje has been doing?
Definitely, there will be a total departure from what Ganduje is currently doing. There will be a reverse to what Kwame Kwasia was doing before, that Ganduje also assisted in doing for 8 years before Ganduje took over. and they've been vocal about the education policy of a Konkosia movement, which Danduje abandoned. And one of it is Konkoso was taking, he has a particular scholarship program where he moves from one local government to another,
mm-hmm.
especially at grassroots, sponsoring people abroad. Many of them, even within Nigeria, they go to private universities, and some of these poor children that they did not even believe they can even further their education after secondary school. Many of them, they have a particular private university, even in Ogun then. Because of the relationship between Konkoso and that of Obasanjo, I think they were able to secure that particular degree then. Many of Kano guys graduated in a particular private university in Ogun State.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them traveled out of the country. Many of those families, they can keep themselves for Konkoso because of that. So immediately Gandhi took over, he said there's no enough money to sustain that kind of a program because mm-hmm. they are investing on it hugely. So as a result of that, he cut it off. Kabiru Yusuf has said it publicly. He issued a statement that the moment they take over, EU will continue with that kind of a program.
Mm.
But the moment he said that, even on our radio show, people have been calling him, saying, okay, if you guys are prioritizing higher institutions, education at the higher level, what is happening at the grassroots, what's happening to primary education in Kano State, that there should be attention to that because the situation is deteriorating right now. So it may also be part of what they will look into, that Gandhi has not been focusing on. Gandhi only expressly declared that there will be free education in Kano, free and compulsory education on court. But in reality, that's not what is happening in Kano State. We have a number of schooling age children selling things, hawking, turning to beggars at schooling times in Kano in the last 8 years. They were there before he took over, and he still sustained them. And during his tenure, not only in Kano State, we have a number of our school children rising from 13 million to 18 million right now in Nigeria. And they want to narrow it down to state level now. I'm very sure Kano will also be among the states that is carrying the body. So these are the kind of priorities that the current administration in NOK, they want to look into. If you check the manifesto of Konkoso at national level when he was contesting for president, this is what he kept talking about. So the moment he could not be able to achieve it at national level, definitely he will narrow it down to Kano the way it has always been before. And some non-indigenous are also complaining that, okay, we understand the fact that you prioritize education, but can you also not narrow it down to only Kano people? Can every resident in Kano be part of this? Can they also benefit from it? Because there are some people born and brought up in Kano State. As an indigenous of Kano, they enjoy free education, but the moment they know that, okay, truly you were born and brought up, but you are not a real Kano indigene, maybe your father is a Igbo or this or that, or Yoruba, it's okay, you are out of it. So those people, they are now saying, okay, we also voted for you. If you check our vote, it makes sense. Can we also have our children benefiting from this education? So those are the questions begging for answer for now. But like I told you, it will be a departure from what Gandhi is doing right now.
Okay. Speaking of Ganduje, the outgoing governor, he had a famous falling out with Emir Mohammed Sanusi, the then Emir of Kano. What's Kwankwaso's relationship with His Majesty Mohammed Sanusi? What can we expect about the role of the royal father or the role that he will play in Kano politics going forward?
Sincerely speaking, people have this impression that, okay, because it was Konkoso that installed Sanusi, that they might likely be on the same page in some of these policies. And I could still remember there was crisis in Kano then, the moment Konkoso installed him, because Kano people wanted the current emir of Kano then, because they said they believed in his father, the way his father and then ruled in Kano State, they were pleased with it. So Aminu Adubayero should be the one to install, but Konkoso installed Sanusi then. There was crisis for almost 3-4 days. They burnt tire on the street, and eventually they just took it with good faith before the drama between Sanusi and Gamitjen. And eventually dethroned him.
Mm.
So based on that, we may say, okay, they have good rapport. Some people have started admitting rumor that he might likely...
So we lost you where you were saying some people have started a rumor saying that he might likely, and then we lost you. Yeah.
Okay, so some people have started admitting rumor that they might likely return Sanusi since Abba Kabiru is now in charge now, and he's in Lotokunko. So, but we've not really seen any trades regarding that, because the current emir has congratulated him. Even though one of the emirs in the north has called for Sanusi to be reinstated.
Mm-hmm.
But we are still not seeing signal of probably that one may happen. Mind you, the Sanusi in question is not a kind of person that even if Konkoso is in charge right now, even if he's back, it doesn't mean that I will not criticize him. That is the kind of person he is. He doesn't. Because I remember when he struck Sanusi that time, when Gyatan was in charge, then when he was criticizing some of his President Bola Jonathan, people kept saying, this guy it was a fight between North and South. I wanted a Northern presidency and what have you. But we knew how Sanusi criticized President Muhammadu Buhari's administration.
Right.
He was public criticizing them publicly. He didn't care. So with that one, people now knew the kind of person who he is. Whether Sanusi is there right now or no longer there, whether Ganduji is coming back, or whether they are reinstating him, it's not stopping from continuing with his own way of life, which is culture. So that's just one aspect of the situation. But the currently people have that feeling that Sanusi belongs to that of Konkoso, just because of the alignment that Konkoso was the one that installed him then. Ganduji was a deputy governor when he was installed.
Okay, let's take a look at comments from listeners on WhatsApp. I say users. You can also give us a call on 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. We've got this message here from Pedro. Emeka in Pedro says, I see RMK being in charge in Kano. In fact, he's having his third term as governor. All right. This message from Steve says, anybody surprised over the comments of the incoming governor of Kano is just a learner on natural justice and karma. Ganduje, the original, knows that there's bad market for him already, so let's leave them to get the results of what they contributed in giving our democracy a different definition. We've got a message here from... You didn't leave your name, but you say, the incoming governor knows the MO of leaving governors, collect lousy loans for invisible projects, their final large retirement package. Is that not what the federal government is doing, wanting to borrow trillions for one shady project? I don't blame the incoming governor of Kano. He's ringing the bell for those who care to listen, planning to give loans or do business with the outgoing governor. If them like, make them know here. When their money enter hole or well, they shouldn't go protesting, because I would be the first to advise the governor to pick all of them to jail if they don't know the road to Ganduji's house. Okay. 99.3. Hello. Thank you very much for calling us.
Sandra, how are you?
I'm very well.
Hello, Sandra.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
You have Titilokwe here. I greet your guest.
Talk to me, Titilokwe. Welcome.
This is Sandra. I wanted to ask you a question about Sanusi coming back.
Okay.
Let's talk about that. But again, let him tell me, what is the rating of Buhari? Before Buhari became the president, he was just like a hero then. But the rating of Buhari now, versus what happened when Buhari went to, Kano, and he was pelted with stones by people. So let him talk about that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Caller?
I didn't hear him very well.
Oh, he's saying, how do people in Kano feel about President Muhammadu Buhari, considering that they were very supportive of him when he was first running for office, but when he went to Kano, he was pelted with stones. allegedly
speaking, most of them are regretting the move right now. That's what I can assure you, because we've been getting reactions offline, online, even physically. The last time he came, remember, many of them were throwing stones. You understand? So with the reaction, it's not something that is that friendly right now. It's not, when you listen to radio, you see the kind of condemnation, you know that people were saying, okay, why did they even return him in 2019? Mm-hmm. Then, when you know, you've seen it for like 4 years,
mm-hmm.
but the kind of friendship he had, we have a number of them. I had a friend then that was telling me that he didn't just know how. He was suffering under this administration, but he was just being compelled by what he cannot even explain for him to go and revoke President Muhammadu Buhari, that the likeness was just too much then. So many of them, if you approach them, they cannot even tell you why. Is it because of the ideology? Is it because of what he has on ground? We just have that natural likeness for President Muhammadu Buhari. But most of them have rejected it because the policy is not that palatable for anybody in Kano State.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look at messages we have on WhatsApp. This one here says, Ganduje should just leave office. I beg. Tosin from Ogoju with that message there. The present emir cannot be dethroned. His family is loved in Kano. I do not think it is wise for Abba to start his tenure with such crisis. It will be chaotic. Shokbe Wale from Suruleri with that message there. Kolawole, what do you think about that comment?
Yeah, but sincerely speaking, it will be more dramatic and it will be diversionary. It will be destructive for him to start on that note. Truly, I totally agree with that comment, because what it means is that we now have four Emirate councils in Kano State right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you are to reverse it, it means you are dethroning three emirs, or maybe you are dethroning four emirs, you are bringing one back.
Mm.
Because if you want to get rid of any of Kano, you are getting rid of the entire policy that installs four emirs in Kano.
Mm.
So you know that kind of reaction to that.
Mm-hmm.
The people that feel like, okay, we will now have emirs of our own, Ichi emir and some other locations like that.
Mm-hmm.
You now just get rid of four of them and you are bringing them back. The kind of reaction, it might not be that friendly.
It would be an unnecessary way to start.
He wants too much of noise, too much of a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever it resumes, at least maintain status quo for now.
Okay, Lagos, let's talk. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Today we're in Kano, taking a look at the Guber elections that happened there on the 18th of March and the aftermath of the outcome of that election. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name, sir?
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
All right. Doesn't look like this person can hear me. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Kolawole Omoni is the head of news, Cool Wazobia Info, Kano. Kolawole, thank you so much for joining me on the show today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right. Lagos, let's talk. A conversation we started at 3 p.m. today, but a question I'd like to ask again. Do you think that outgoing governors, presidents, or assembly members should be able to borrow money, award contracts for the few months between election and inauguration? Or do you think that it creates an ethical problem and a loophole for sabotaging the next government? Would you want restrictions on what an outgoing government can do after the election? What do you think about the ongoing drama in Kano? And like I said, I mean, this is not a problem that is unique to Nigeria. All over the world, you have this lame duck versus incoming principal situation. And like I explained at 3 o'clock, a lame duck is, as politically speaking, a lame duck is a politician whose term is ending and whose successor is known. Different countries treat lame ducks in different ways. In Canada, like I mentioned at 3 p.m., a lame duck prime minister is not allowed to do everything that a normal prime minister can do. You know, they cannot make some major appointments. They cannot change some policies. In New Zealand, the lame duck prime minister must consult with the incoming prime minister before taking some major steps. But in the US, it's free for all. The lame duck can do anything they like up until the day of swearing in. So many different ways to treat a lame duck. And, you know, Nigerians, of course, can decide for themselves should we change these laws? Should we hold on to these laws? Can we keep it the way it is? Is it working the way it is? That's why I'm asking you what you think, what you're comfortable with. What do you want? Are you comfortable with the current system we have in Nigeria where the outgoing governor or the outgoing president or the outgoing assembly can borrow money and award contracts for the few months between election and inauguration? Do you think it creates an ethical problem and a loophole for sabotaging the next government? Would you want restrictions on what an outgoing government can do after the election? And talk to me about the ongoing drama in Kano. We have a break in about 2 minutes, so I can take a very quick call. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Sandra, yeah, sorry.
Yes.
That's a little back. On the 3 o'clock topic, you see, I don't believe that it's unethical.
Okay.
Because the question already gives them the power to be in office for that 4 years.
Yes.
And even if it's going to remain 2 days or 2 weeks, it does not matter. For instance, look at ING, Interim National Government of Senegal in 1993. For Ondo to have become an oil-producing country, I mean, state, it was done during that time. So whether it is interim, it is, you know, whatever, as long as the country allows it. Anyway, as the decree that allowed interim government was the military decree. That was not democracy, but it was still the law. So the law is the law. Whether it is 1 hour, 1 day, as long as it is the law. Then what is most important is for the institution, the National Assembly, the State Assembly, another agency of government, and even the people, the media, to stand up and ensure accountability. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. All right. We have 1 minute. 1 minute before I have to take a break. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
I'm very well. What's your name, sir?
Ligwe from Surrey.
I've got 1 minute, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to tell you, we don't keep any law in Nigeria.
Okay.
We don't keep anyone. And you are exaggerating now that which one are we going to take? We are not keeping anyone. I'm very scared of what is happening in this country. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Because that's all the time we have on today's Hard Facts. But thank you so much for being a part of the show. Tomorrow, I'll be back, 3 p.m. The show will be live. We'll have another debate. The final Group B debate will happen tomorrow between Ramadan and Hamid Olarawaju. It happens tomorrow at 4. So tell someone to tell someone else. And then, of course, at 5 o'clock, we will bring you the big hard fact for that day. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. Those were your hard facts. Lagos, good night.